The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Now give me some figgy pudding. Now give me some figgy pudding. Dwayne, you have any figgy pudding for me?
No. I got some Christmas cake, though, if you want. I'll have to throw it really far through the... Yeah.
Good day, good night. Welcome to our Christmas Eve special. Yes, every year on Christmas Eve, we take the role of Santa Claus to the soccer world and give a little bit of gifts to our most favorite characters, teams, and anything we want, pretty much, on Christmas Eve, we give to the soccer world. Dwayne, but first of all, Merry Christmas Eve to you.
Merry Christmas Eve Day, which is the strange one, which we don't know if it's a holiday or not. I did an hour and a half of work this morning while watching the movie Jumanji, which is obviously a Christmas classic.
That's what I was asking you. Like, the original one or the ones with The Rock? When apparently there's like three of them now. Like, what? When did they come out?
Yeah. Exactly. So I got my 2 hours of work done, and I'm ready to start eating my Christmas cake. I am the one guy that likes fruitcake, Christmas cake, fruitcake. I like fruitcake. I don't mind getting it as a gift. So if you want to re-gift me your fruitcake over the holidays, I'm happy to take it.
This is the least surprising thing I've learned today. Dwayne likes fruitcake. It's so fitting. Let's send some panettone at Dwayne's way. Dwayne, Christmas, it's the tradition here and in the world, the giving of gifts. And for us, we like to give little things to MLS teams, to Canadian soccer players, Canadian soccer personalities, American soccer personalities, or in the entire world. And let's start today with... Let's. You're wearing the Christmas hat on the show right now. So how about you give a gift to someone?
I'm going to start out by giving a gift to John Herdman. My gift to John Herdman is calculator.
Not bad.
Yeah, because John needs to figure the points out. Well, actually, the CSA needs to figure the points out and figure out how to change it over. Because as much as I have emotionally accepted the path to the World Cup is going to be through the repechage, most likely. Emotionally, it is still difficult to wrap my head around, because I think that the hex would be more valuable than going through that junk, even if they were to make it to the World Cup. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but I truly do believe that. So we need to give a calculator to whoever, to either John Herdman or whoever is going to be booking some friendlies, because really we need to book some. Now, for those that don't know, El Salvador has a couple games booked for non-FIFA dates in the new year, and they're trying to get one of those changed to a closed-door practice, and that's very strategic of them to do that, because by doing that, if FIFA agrees to make that in a closed-door practice, then there will be no points up for grabs. They'll just be playing for the experience of it. They'll be playing Iceland in that game. They're also playing the United States, which, of course, the U.S. would be favorites to win. That is just a cash grab, and they will lose points if they get that. So we need to figure all this stuff out. So a calculator, I think, is a really apt present. Maybe just an app that is more advanced, that has like automatic FIFA calculations in it on your phone or something. But
you're talking about like a Texas Instrument type of calculator for John Herdman and Peter Montopoli, General Director, Secretary of the CSA. So you're talking about like the type of calculator that we program games into it when we were in high school.
Yeah, or you spell certain anatomy pieces with, yeah.
You know that you can actually spell soleil, so sun in French? That's what we used to do. I guess we're a bit nicer here. We used to spell soleil on our calculators. That's how much I was paying attention in mathematics class.
I used to play a game called Quarters in math class in high school.
I used to play Dope Wars on my calculator. That's another type of game.
Yeah, we were gambling, essentially, is what we were doing, which I suppose had some odds involved, so I guess we weren't completely not doing math, but there you go.
And you know what? It served you more than probably a lot of other things you've learned in high school over the years with your work that you had, so not bad. My first gift is very similar, Dwayne, and I'm glad that you specified a calculator, because I'm giving John Herdman and the Canadian Soccer Association friendlies. I'm giving you friendlies in the friendly FIFA windows. An international window, and I'm giving them friendlies that they could win. That's what I'm giving to Canada, to give them a chance to get to the hex.
Yeah, I actually got a DM from someone the other day. I'm not going to say who, but someone that is fairly well known in the soccer community going, "So explain to me again how Canada can get to the hacks." And again, this is not an unknown person. This was not just Joe Fan. And no disrespect to Joe Fan, of course, but it was someone who should know this. But it's hard to know. It's even hard for me to explain. Basically, they need to get points, and they need to have somewhere to lose points, and that's basically what it comes down to. But yeah, they need some they, to get points. You need to play games, and we haven't heard an announcement yet. Look, there's a couple things that I haven't heard anything official, but I do know that there are a couple open dates that the Mexican national team is holding in the U.S. that have not been booked with teams yet. If I'm on the CSA, I'm on the phone, because honestly, as difficult as it would be to win a game like that, that's really the only chance I see. But is to book a big someone way above you in the rankings and pull it off, so you get 4 or 5 points for that, and then you hope El Salvador loses, and then suddenly the gap is closed, and maybe you could pull it off with a Bermuda win. But yeah, they got to do something, and they got to do it quick.
They got to do it quick. March comes at us really quickly because it's already December 24th. Tomorrow's Christmas, Boxing Day, and then it continues. And next week, well, it's 2020 already. And I guess with next year comes hindsight. So maybe we will have a little bit of a friendlies in the international window. Enough with the puns. Dwayne, your second gift today.
Okay, this one's a kind of a gift for two people at once. I'm going to give a gift to Sebastian Giovinco, and also to Toronto FC fans. And what that gift is in about 3 years' time. So it's a deferred gift. I'm going to give him one final year, one contract when he's 35, 36 years old to finish his career in Toronto, because I think the Toronto fans would really like to say goodbye to him. I think in deep down, he'd like to say goodbye to them too. Like to have one last run out, maybe score a couple more free kick goals. But the reality is, he's not worth $5 or $6 million on MLSE's books now, and he's certainly not worth a DP spot unless there's a few extras opened up in the CBA, which no one anticipates. So my gift is a $250,000 contract for 1 year in 3 years for Sebastian Giovinco. Whether that's for him or whether it's for the fans, I don't know, but that's my gift so that we can all properly say goodbye to the little Italian without necessarily mortgaging the future, which a lot of people irrationally wanted to do this year. So sorry, guys, you're gonna have to hold on to that gift for a while. It's like when your grandma or your aunt gave you a bond when you were in, when you were 10 or 12, and you're like, "Well, what the hell am I supposed to do with this now?"
And then you graduate, like, "Oh, wait, I got $5,000 waiting for me. Thanks, Grandma."
Exactly. So I'm gonna give TFC fans a bond to cash in a few years.
It's funny you say TFC fans, because there's a rumor that he might go to France and to go to Toulouse, or even Italy to go to Torino. And Torino's name is Torino Football Club, which the hashtag is TFC. So people will get excited really quickly if he goes to Torino, then realize, oh, wait, it's not the right TFC.
Well, also Torino almost looks like Toronto when you look at it closely. So and it's yeah, there's a certain logic that he plays for Juve, which is in Turin, when Turin and Torino, it's yeah, same city. But I think maybe that's as far as that goes. Although I did hear when I spoke to someone yesterday who has close contact with his agent. I did not speak directly to his agent, but I spoke to someone who spoke to his agent. So this is third-party information you're getting here, folks. They said Serie A is the likely destination, but we'll see. It's not TFC. That's what the TLDR of all this. So yeah.
All right, my second gift today on Christmas Eve, I'm taking my bag and my red sack and my sleigh, and I'm going to Florida, going to Miami, and I'm giving Inter Miami a manager. I'm giving them a coach with experience, not David Beckham. I'm giving him a coach for Christmas, heading into the training camp in not even a month.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more excited by the prospect of David
David
Beckham
Beckham manager.
I don't know if you, most of our listeners probably do not recall this, and a name that you probably won't hear much more of in a couple of years, but is quite famous in this country and quite famously got fired this year. Don Cherry coached the Mississauga Ice Dogs of the OHL in 2002, I want to say, going back almost 20 years now. And it was every bit the disaster that you thought, that it was hilarious. And I would kind of think that David Beckham managing might be similar. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, but maybe it's the only way to get an official fashion consultant as part of the books for Inter Miami. Because, of course, if David Beckham is on the sideline of Inter Miami as manager, there will be a sideline fashion expert. There will be a sideline, how do you call it? How do you call someone who dresses someone else? Fashion expert or not a designer, but anyways. Yeah,
Do I look like I'm dressed by someone else?
You're dressed nice on this picture we have right here. But I would say a fashion consultant would be hired by Inter Miami if David Beckham's a manager. But no, I'm giving them a manager with experience, not named David Beckham and not named Jason Christ. How about that?
All right, fair enough. Well, yeah, Jason Christ has ever a reputation been crashed so quickly within soccer circles? I'm not sure. He was a guy that I remember.
Precky might be Thomas Wrong and Precky are like the examples, but Jason Christ had a higher skill.
Well, I think what happened with Rongen, he's a funny guy. And look, I got to know him a little bit because I was covering TFC for the official site back then. So I talked to Thomas quite a few times and I, you know, I followed him on Twitter and things like that. And I spoke to him off record a few times. So he is genuinely kind of nice and funny and a character. But as a coach, yeah, he's more of a character. He's great on TV. Preki, I think, is a good, like, it's like fruitcake. You can't have it every day of the year. That's too much. But on Christmas Day, especially with that icing, white icing on the top, yeah, it's good for a little bit. But
I'm going to tell you something that's going to change your life, Wayne. Make French toast with your fruitcake.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Dip your fruitcake in eggnog. Put this on a pan with some butter, and you'll thank me later.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's Preki. He's good in small doses. But, like when he went to Orlando, he was like, oh, this is going to save Orlando. Well, maybe nothing can. They're the abyss. But then we'll see how that works out moving forward. So, anyway, let's move on to my next gift, Kevin.
Go ahead.
My next gift is I'm going to go the female side of the game, and I'm going to go to a woman who I think – on a national team level, probably should step aside about August. And that is Christine Sinclair. I think it is time to move to the next generation completely. And as long as she's in the program, then I do think it's probably appropriate that she move on. So a happy retirement would be one thing I can give her. But instead, I want to give her out in a blast. I want her to, you know, first have to get there. But I want her to score the goal. We all know what that means. The goal in Tokyo in a moment that matters. I am not hopeful for the Canada's chances to three-peat on the bronze side of things this summer, although the Olympic tournament is weird, you never know. But I would love for Christine Sinclair to get that moment in a moment that there are millions of Canadians watching, and the Olympics will provide her with that. So I am going to give the goal, Christine Sinclair, the moment during the games, the Olympic games, when it's an isolated game. So that's often they play a couple games before the games actually start. So this is my ultimate dream, is that in one of those, like when we're doing Welcome to Five Rings Podcast, day minus two.
Christine Sinclair scored three goals in a friendly.
Yeah, it's or in the first game of the Olympics, as the case may be. So something where there's a lot of people watching, and I think that would be an amazing opportunity where she's isolated. Like if it were to happen like late in the games when there's other things going on and Canada wasn't doing much, it might get buried a bit. But if it happens kind of at the beginning, during the Olympics, but not well into the Olympics, I think it would be great. And she deserves a moment, is what I'm saying. She deserves the headlines. She deserves everything that she gets. I do think, although I talked to the coaching staff earlier this year and asked them directly how long they thought she was going to play, and they said that she might play through the next World Cup. I don't know if that's a good idea, because I think, I don't know, it's a strange one, because she is still effective at times, but you know, mother time, as the case may be, is undefeated, as we've said many times before. So, but let's give her that moment, and that's what I want to give her.
That's a very good gift, and hopefully it does come true. And you're right when you're talking about the national team level, because as much as we like her entire career, what she brought to the national team, like maybe the most important soccer player in this country's history, disregarding of the gender, I think it's important to also realize that if you want this core of this team to grow together, to evolve together, they need to be together. And she's taking a spot that is very important for the future also. And as much as you don't want to use this analogy, when she's on the field, even if it's subconsciously, players will try to find her. Players will try to find her to give her that goal. And that actually might negate the progress of the overall chemistry of this team. But I do hope that she gets that moment in the sun. My gift, my third gift today, Dwayne, it's going to Montreal. It's going to the Montreal Impact fans. I'm giving you a year with no coaching changes. 12 months of Thierry Henry. No questions. Who's going to manage if there's a losing streak? Is he going to get fired? No. I'm giving you calm, serenity when it comes to the manager role in 2020. Who has the cojones to tell Thierry Henry anything? It's not going to happen in the first 12 months. It's going to be, at least in 2020, a year with no anxiety towards the coach in Montreal.
Fair enough. And, you know, I think that in this particular case, what's good about this hire for the Impact is this is such a big personality that it would be very, very difficult to justify moving on from him, right? So that gives him more time. Now, the question I would have is if he were to get an interest from a bigger club in the world, and I'm talking the Premier League or something, would he move on himself? But I don't think so. So yeah, I think it's a gift that might happen is what I'm saying here. And it certainly, I have been critical of the Impact for having a trigger finger many times over the past decade. So I'm not going to complain about your choice of gift here, Kevin, for sure. This is definitely not a pair of socks under the tree. This is something that people would want to open.
And it's, you know, when we look at 2019, there was three manager changes for the Montreal Impact, from Rémi Garde being fired, Cabrera being hired, Cabrera being let go. Actually, four, Cabrera being let go, and Thierry Henry being hired. I think it's enough, and people are tired of seeing hiring and firings at the manager role. If it's going to be stable for 2020, and fans can just focus on the Piatti drama, which I'm not going to get into because I don't know if he's back or not. I have no idea. I'm not giving a gift to Piatti. I'm not giving a gift of Piatti's presence because I cannot guarantee anything. And I don't like to gift, and then the gift is a moot gift and it doesn't happen. So, Montreal, no worries for your coach in 2020. Your gift, your next gift.
Fair enough. Okay, my next gift, I'm going to give this gift to the soccer fans of the capital region of Canada. Ottawa, Gatineau, right down to Kingston even, I guess. Anywhere that's sort of in Eastern Ontario that may have been gravitating towards the Ottawa Fury. We all know the story well. It has been one of our stories of the year this year in Canadian soccer is what's going on with the Fury. It's not a good story, but it has definitely been. You know, we're not doing a top 10 stories of the year because we're focused on the decade this year. But if we were, it would absolutely be in that, the Fury saga. So I'm giving them peace. I don't think it's realistic to give them a team for next year because I don't think that will happen. But what we can give them is rational conversations taking place in the capital that provide them with hope for the future, hopefully for 2021, but if not 2022, that there will be a path forward. Everyone agrees that there needs to be a team in the Canadian Premier League in the Valley, in the Ottawa Valley. So what we need now is everyone to sort of let go of the past and move forward. So I'm giving them peace.
You're giving Ottawa closure.
Yeah,
that's it. Because it is a grief to a level. It is more maybe accustomed to a breakup, like an emotional and very hard relationship being ended. That's what losing a team kind of feels like, all the way to grief, and closure helps in this situation. And we do hope to our listeners in the Ottawa region, Stefan, Stuart, John, and company of all the supporters club in the history of Ottawa Fury, we hope for the best, and we hope that you can look ahead to a future with soccer in the Ottawa and Gatineau region. Now, Dwayne, I'm gonna move ourselves to Europe here. I'm gonna go to Italy. Yeah, I'm gonna go to Italy as a whole and to Serie A as a whole. And I'm gonna give the very, very big gift, and it might seem like trivial as a gift, but it's not that trivial, and I guess common sense ain't that common, because I'm giving common sense to Italy to realize that it's 2019 heading into 2020, and it's time to let go of the ways of the past. Yeah, it's about time you start being kind to your players. As an owner of a team, as a manager of a team, as fans, it's about time that racism stops. And when you're trying to dig yourselves out of a hole, but you keep digging, guess what? You're making the hole just bigger. It's time to realize that things need to change, and you're the only one who can do so. It's yourself, Syria. Look yourself in the mirror. Do whatever you need to do, but it's time to arrive in this century.
Yeah, look, I mean, I want to talk about Syria scoreboard-wise. Like, I do. I've watched... You know, it's on my DAZN. It's easily accessible for a lot of our listeners. So it would make sense for us to talk about it. But until they get their house in order when it comes to that stuff, I can't feel comfortable doing it. And having said that, I know that, you know, there was racist incidences in London last week.
Sunday,
it happened. In the Manchester Derby, whether or not you think that man was doing monkey symbols or not, it certainly, the fact that it even was suggested is... suggesting that this stuff happens all over the world, right? So yeah, it is stuff that needs to get dealt with everywhere, but it is happening particularly often in Italy and Syria, and that's why.
Even if it doesn't happen that often, the time that it did happen were very public, and the perception is that it's happening often in Italy. So even if you think it's not happening that often, you got to put a kibosh to that perception at least. You got to put your shit together, like you were trying to say, and be kind. You got to bring a third party in, a firm, an exterior firm, to look at things, to give you recommendation, and you need to act on these recommendations. It's the only way to go forward to gain the trust of not only fans, but players, especially the likes of Lukaku, Moise Kean, etc., and also journalists like us and across the world, to have a little redemption moment for Syria. And I think that's what we cannot wait for it to happen, is to have a third party coming into Syria and examining, looking, and truly feel like there's something done about it. Now, that's the perception, is that every time they're trying to do something about it, just go back to 2 weeks ago and the campaign using apes. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like there's not someone who was consulted. Like, the person representing, I don't know, the mainstream consciousness that would tell them, yeah, that doesn't come off good. Like, I don't know how would you say it, but the person representing common sense, that's what they're missing. So I'm sending them a common sense representative that's going to sit at the table and tell them, guys, you cannot have a anti-racism campaign with gorillas. It's literally doesn't make any sense. Come on, people. You should know better. That's what I'm sending them. Common sense to look at things in the proper way.
Well, it's the ability to see the perception from other people. When it comes to that campaign, I think they were trying to be cutesy and ironic about it, right? It doesn't work when everyone just assumes that you're all racist. You can't just go, okay, here's a racist symbol that we're trying to, what? Like, there, it doesn't work. It's not like when, you know, people take back. That's, I think, what they were trying to do. They were trying to take it back, but you can't take it back. You haven't earned that yet. So you need that common sense, that outside perspective in there for sure. Yeah, we could talk about hours for that, but this is Christmas Eve. Let's focus on positive stuff.
So here's a positive gift from Dwayne.
Yeah, well, it's not really that positive, but it's sort of.
That's why I was kind of ironic, because I'm expecting it not to be.
I guess it is. I'm trying to. It's the first peace of mind. I'm giving Greg Berhalter some kind of device, I don't know what it is, that allows him to block out all of the internet and all of the noise around what he's trying to do. And look, I'm not a American, so I don't really have an emotional attachment to the U.S. men's national team, but I'm a logical person, and I see some of the criticism that they get, and it's completely illogical. And it's got to be difficult to work in that environment when you are basically being called evil. You know, online criticism.
Incompetent. Like, hired for the wrong reasons. There's a lot of things that he's been called on social media. Just look at the hashtag U.S. men's national team, and you'll lose a bit of time on Christmas Eve in a dark rabbit hole.
Yeah, and I mean, I could give the same thing to Jozy Altidore as well. I mean, Jozy Altidore is not why you missed the World Cup. He scored a hat-trick the game before. But at any rate, it's...
yeah.
it's silly, but, you know, fans are going to fan, and I get it. There's a lot of emotion attached, and Americans are not used to they're not used to failure on the sporting spectrum. And, you know, certainly when, especially when you throw the women into the mix, and it is silly to compare international women's football with international men's football. It is, it's not apples and oranges, it's apples and pickup trucks. But nonetheless, other than the fact it's the same sport, it's just, it's toxic. And then if the U.S. men's national team program, U.S. men's program in general, is going to get itself into a place that its fans wanted to get, they need to get rid of the toxicity. So really, I guess, you know, I could say it's an internet blocker or a scrubbing brush to scrub the toxicity off, something like that. Because there's no, this is similar to the Ottawa gift in many ways. Until you can get rid of, until you can get to a rational discussion place, nothing productive is going to happen. And as much as the U.S., you know, is trying to do something, Greg Berhalter is trying to do something, there is a lot of spinning the wheels right now. And I think a lot of that has to do with everyone assuming that they know exactly what to do and that they know exactly what everyone else is doing wrong. So, yeah, it's what's basically the same as we have here for years. It's just amplified because there's 10 times more of them.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. I forget the name of the theory right now, but there's a famous theory that I read a few weeks ago that people that have no knowledge or no experience in a certain field will feel like they're better at it than an expert. And the more you gain knowledge, the less you actually think you're good at something. It's a weird curve. It's like a half circle. That the more knowledge you have about a situation, the more you know you don't know, pretty much, is the TLDR version. And this applies to a lot of things online, and especially when it comes to managing a club. Someone that never played soccer, never managed soccer, never managed players, never was a boss of anyone in the world, finds themselves looking at a TV screen and thinking, yeah, I can do better than Greg Berhalter as manager of the national team. Come on, it's not that hard. Yeah, I forget the name of that theory, but it's a good example of it right there.
Yeah, it's not the same theory, but I'll give you a similar thing. A little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing is an adage that is true, and I think it's true here. I get into this all the time. You'll note that on this show, although we will occasionally dab our toe into tactics and stuff like that, that is not our wheelhouse. I will never pretend to you that I know more about how to tactically set up a football team because I played Football Manager a couple times. That's ridiculous. And I think that's kind of what we're referring to here. There are a lot of keyboard warriors out there that think that they know more than professionals who've worked their whole life in the game. Whether they be administrators or managers. And then obviously that's not to say you can't criticize them and you can't be critical of what's happening there, because certainly you can be and should be in some cases. But yeah, sometimes it's just anger for the sake of anger sometimes. That's the world though, right?
It is the world. It's the Dunning-Kruger effect I was looking for. That's the name of the theory. You can look it up. And yeah, you'll call me an asshole probably, but it is what it is. It's sometimes, and I do it sometimes too. But if you think that you have it, you probably don't, because it's a very small portion of the population. But it is an example. So yeah, the Dunning-Kruger effect does apply to Greg Berhalter's job from an outside perspective. Dwayne, I'm going to give a little cute gift here as well to slowly bring this show to an end. And no, I'm not a Liverpool fan, but it's about time, I guess, when you look at their history. I'm giving Liverpool what we can call it. I think it's almost Christmas. I'm giving Liverpool a Premier League title in 2020, their first ever since 1993.
Sure. I guess you're giving me a lump of coal then, but that's fine.
Well, yeah. You know, there's an octagon, there's a paragon, there's like a multigon, and you know what? For Manchester City, there's a title's gone.
There you go. I also, as a sports fan in general, I, Dwayne Rollins, have zero to complain about for the 2010s.
Zero. From the Raptors, the Washington Capitals, Manchester City winning the Premier League three times. Yeah, yeah, Dwayne's good. Dwayne's good for another 20.
Yeah. Well,
oh, TFC, like, for freak's
sake. The Jays finally made it back to playoffs. I'm a huge Jays fan going way back. The only team that I have that of my lifelong teams, I guess TFC is lifelong in the sense that it's as long as they've been alive. The lifelong team is the only one that didn't do anything this decade were the Dallas Cowboys, which is quite easily the least of my concerns when it comes to my lifelong teams. Yes, I want them to win more than lose, but it's not that I'm, you know, sitting in front of the TV every Sunday, hanging on every play. It's more of a, oh, how'd they do yesterday kind of thing at this point in my life. So that's fine. Yeah, I'm nothing to complain about. Hell, even the Wolfpack got promoted to the Super League.
yeah.
Which was like kind of like, you know, the bully getting the lunch money from the geek, but that's nonetheless, it's well, yeah, still happened.
They had, what, 10 times the budget of every single team they've played against for the last 3 years? So eventually, you're going to get to the top league. Here, we didn't have any of it in our list, but I think it's important. We gave gift to Montreal. We gave gift to Toronto. We gave gift to Major League Soccer and Major League Soccer fans. Let's look at our friends in Vancouver. Well, friends. Let's look at our listeners in Vancouver. And let's give him a gift, Wayne. I'll start. And I'll give the gift of stability, calm, and serenity for Vancouver in 2020. No more drama. No more big defeats, no more bad relaunch of a team. With Lucas Cavanini and the tank, they're going to destroy their opposition and slowly move back into relevancy in a playoff contention. I anticipate positive outcomes in Vancouver, and for this reason, I'm giving them calm and serenity and positivity to get ready for the happiness that will come for Vancouver in 2020.
Well, that's optimistic. I'll just leave it at that. I'm giving them patience is what I'm giving them, because I think that they might need another year of patience. I hope, obviously, as a Canadian men's national team lifelong fan, I guess that's the one team from my lifelong fandom that I can say didn't have a great decade. But with them, it is what it is. I was born with them. I'm stuck with them. Doesn't matter what they do. Anyway, but yeah, I think it could be a challenge. I worry about that signing and them starting to eat their own, but we'll see. Hopefully they can get service. I do think there's a lot more work to be done in Vancouver. And you know, obviously, if I can give one more gift out in general, it's to MLS again, and it's to the fans of MLS that there is an actual season that continues and is not interrupted in any way and is stress-free at the beginning. Because right now, I find it funny, and it's because it's happening over Christmas. No one's talking about that CBA yet in a real way. I mean, we are obviously, but you just don't see it. So let's hope that that's not a thing. You know, when was the last work stoppage in major sport? I'm trying to think. The basketball lockout, which is more than 10 years ago now. So yeah, that they're not fun. Well, okay, when was hockey? When was the last hockey one I could get?
2004, wasn't it? 2004-5? Was yeah. It another one after that? No, 2004-5, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a while since we've last had one, and it's they're not fun if you're a sports fan. I mean, you tune out and you lose fans, and I think Major League Soccer does have a certain momentum that they need to maintain, particularly going into all these new markets. I mean, I can't help but think, like, I look at this market here. I think that it's been here long enough that the core is not going anywhere, so they'd be fine. But you look at a market like even Atlanta, with all due respect to them, like, that's a lot of people that are coming out for the party. And if the party goes away for a while, there's going to be a new party hookup somewhere else. And that's going to be problematic. Maybe not, you know, I'm not saying for sure Atlanta would disappear. I'm not saying they disappear completely, but it would be work to get it back. And I don't think you'd want that. So hopefully cooler heads prevail there too. And it allows them to realize that there's a lot to lose from both parties. And there's got to be a middle ground compromise that allows more flexibility, more movement, and more integration with the world market for the players, but at the same time recognizes the unique position of the sport in North America. And that's not a nuance that a lot of people like to talk about, yeah. But certainly exists. So let's hope that gets dealt with.
And to finish the show, Dwayne, I'm giving every Major League Soccer fan, journalist, owner, worker, character, personalities, everyone, I'm giving you 12 months of no expansion announcement for you to enjoy.
Maybe. We'll see. we'll see on that one. If a magic billionaire pops up in Detroit with a stadium in mind, there's going to be an announcement.
Maybe, yeah. But on that note, Dwayne and I wishes you a great Christmas Eve. Be safe tonight. Tomorrow at 11 a.m., our special Christmas Day show comes out. Our top 10 moments and stories of the decade in the world of soccer in general. And on Boxing Day, we have our top 10 of the decade in Major League Soccer. You can find those two podcast shows available at 11 a.m. tomorrow. And on Thursday, we'll be back with a live show on Friday. But until then, enjoy your Christmas Eve. Enjoy your Christmas Day, your Boxing Day. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. And until then, for Dwayne, as always, have a great soccer.